Praise God. We are going to open our Bibles tonight. We might try to sing another little chorus or song here yet. But we're turning to 1 John. I know you're probably wondering what happened to Proverbs. It's still in there. But what can I say? The Lord put this on my heart, and all I can do is do what I'm called to do. Amen. This is what the Lord has given for us. This is what we need to go into tonight. How many here, it isn't in any of the books, but how many here have ever heard that song or know the words to, I don't know the title of the song. I just know the words to it. But it's a song about the blood, how it'll never lose its power. It shall never lose its power. Do you know that song? How many know it? Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. A little? Will you try and sing it with me? Can you play that without music? She's usually very, very good playing by ear. Some people, when they play by ear, it can sound real eerie. But she does real, real well with this. So if we can hit the right key, we'll be doing just fine. If not, then we're going to get in a lot of trouble here. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to that gives me strength from day to day will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from the blood
that gives me strength from day to day. Will never lose its power.
Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, for the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, amen. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I don't think I even have to tell you that power of the Lord just swept in here. Amen. The Lord is here tonight. The Lord is here. Glory to God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God, amen. You know, as I was driving home tonight, the song came to mind. I was driving down the road and I started singing it. And I've been thinking, well, tonight we'll continue on with Proverbs. And the song started to just take over. The Lord directed me to Scripture. Amazing how it works, isn't it? Amen. It was totally unplanned, just driving down the road, worshiping the Lord with this song, and suddenly the Scripture began to come alive, and I know this is the will of God. I just pray that the Lord will help me now. I believe He will, so that we can go into this. We are in 1 John chapter 5. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee, Lord, for this gathering of Thy people and for Thy precious Spirit. We know that Thou art with us, Lord, in Thy mercy, in Thy grace, in Thy strength, and in Thy truth. And Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst be with us tonight in meeting every need, O Lord, of our souls. We call upon Thee. We stand before Thee. We are in Thy presence, O God, even in the presence of the living God. Lord, we stand in need of Thee this night, for Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest the lateness of the hour. Thou knowest the day of adversity is nigh at hand. And O Lord, we commend ourselves into Thy hands. I pray that Thou wouldst lead us, guide us, and direct us in the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the blood in Jesus' name, let every devil be put to flight. Let every wicked spirit that would hinder be cast out in Jesus' name. O Lord, Thou hast all power. Thou hast taken to Thyself all power, O Lord. For Thou art He that sitteth upon the throne of glory, and Thou art He that reignest in the hearts of men. I pray that Thou wouldst guide and direct us this night in Thy holy word, that Thou wouldst be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Through the power of the blood. Praise God. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, the apostle writes, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Amen. You know, I believe that before you can know who Jesus is, you've got to be born of God. You've got to be born again. Being born once didn't do it. You've got to be born again. Amen. And you see, to truly know who Jesus is, it takes that revelation from God. If it took the revelation from God for Peter to know it, then it takes a revelation from God for me to know it. Amen. "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. "And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him." Amen. That means every Hebrew, every Jew had to repent and get baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost. It takes that to be one of the chosen ones of God. Whether you be Jew or Gentile or Greek or whatever you might be, it's all the same way because there's only one door, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 2 says, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." Amen. Let's read on. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous." Some people might think they are, but they're not. I'll tell you what causes grief is sin. Sin causes trouble. Sin causes despair. Sin causes death, for the wages of sin is death. Amen. The commandments of God are not grievous. Amen. Remember how David wrote in the Psalms? "And in this law doth he meditate day and night." Amen. He loved the law of God because he realized it was for his benefit. It was for his blessing. We realize that the Lord said, "Thou shalt not." It's because there's a danger there. And there's no way to do what he said to not do and escape the danger. We have advance warning. That's good. We don't have to stumble through life. The Lord has marked it clearly for us with His commandments. Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You don't have to be worried about the world overtaking you and someday pulling you under. Because if you're born of God, you will be an overcomer. You will overcome this world. Because God has put His heart, His mind in you. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Lord puts that in us. We can see and discern by His Spirit that which is good and that which is evil. And the Lord keeps us day by day. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith. We look around, we see that things will not always be this way. And no matter how bad they get, we realize, well, that's the way it is in the world. That's the way of the earth. But we're not of this world. We're only in it. And that makes a big difference. If you're in it and of it, you got serious trouble. But if you're in it and not of it, this isn't something, I'm not sharing the responsibilities of the sins committed here. The Lord has taken these sins away. I'm just here for a little while. Our life is but a vapor. And this world is full of iniquity and full of sin. And it goes on all around us in every direction we see it. But it's not ours. It's theirs. The Lord has set us apart. He has called us out. Born of God. Starting over. Amen. And I'm just working up to the subject here. It says in verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Again I say, not God the Son, but the Son of God. The humanity, the flesh of God. God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. That's Jesus Christ. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is the Sanctifier. He is God. Amen. "This is He that came by water and blood." Hear this now. This is vitally important. "This is He that came by water and blood. Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." The Spirit is truth. The Holy Ghost is a spirit of truth and is in fact truth itself. But understand something here. It's talking about water and blood. You see, when Jesus began to be about 30 years old, as the Bible says, He began to be about 30 years old, that He went to be baptized. And He went into the River Jordan. And there was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist saw Him coming. And he knew by the Spirit who this was. He said, "Behold!" Oh, I can just about see it. With my eyes of faith, I can just about see it happening. Here's John the Baptist there, baptizing people. And along comes the one that was his whole purpose for being there. And as Jesus came walking, the Spirit of God, remember the Spirit of God was in John the Baptist from his mother's womb. And John the Baptist, touched by the Spirit of God, in the Spirit of the Lord, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus came, and John said, I can't baptize you. I have need to be baptized of thee. How could I baptize the Son of God?" Amen. But Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now." He said, "For this is to fulfill all righteousness." This must be. This is ordained. This is written in the volume of the book. Amen. And I'll tell you something, anybody who tries to circumvent baptism does not realize that Jesus Christ is the pattern for us all. And if He was baptized who knew no sin, see, He wasn't baptized because of sin, the remission of sin of His own. He had no sin of His own. But He was still baptized to show us that we must be. How can I follow Jesus Christ and reject baptism? How can I follow one who was baptized and reject it? I must walk as He walked. He started His ministry with water, and He ended His ministry with blood. You have a witness of the water and a witness of the blood, not by water only, but also by blood. And that's why when He hung on that cross, and it began to get late in the day, and they break the legs of the other prisoners, that Roman soldier that was there took the spear and rammed that spear into the flesh of Jesus Christ, and forthwith there came out blood and water. As a witness, as a testimony that His ministry was one of blood and water, that both of those were there, for His ministry started with the water, and the power of God came down as a witness. The voice spoke from heaven, amen, and said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And John saw the likeness of a dove coming down, knowing that this was a sign to him that Jesus Christ is Almighty God, now manifest in the flesh, and now the ministry of this great one sent forth, God in the flesh, was to begin. And He would do something that would change the entire world. And He did. For He put a church in it. He did change things. Things are not as they were before. Praise God. God has a people to this day that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Bible tells us that His ministry, that He came by water and blood, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now that's very, very significant, and I'll show you why. Let's read on. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." I said, these three are one. You will note that it doesn't say these three are in one. Are these three agree in one. The next verse is going to have something to say about agreement. But these three are one. It's one God, manifest as Father. Manifest in the flesh as the Word. Manifest or sent forth or made known as the Holy Ghost. But it's one God. Not three separate spirits. Not three separate beings or deities or persons. But one who was manifest forth in these ways for us, every one of these being a ministry and a manifestation and declaration of His power. In order that the plan of God would be complete and made known. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Notice the earthly witness, the witness of the earth. There are three that bear record in heaven, and there are three that bear witness in earth. But now notice the earthly witness here. It's Spirit, it's water, and it's blood. Compare that with Acts 2:38 and the day of Pentecost, when the people were pricked in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter stood up, being anointed of the Holy Ghost, and what was the answer that he gave forth? Walk down to the front and receive a tract? Is that what he said? Accept the Lord as your personal Savior? Well, why in the world are they preaching that now? Why are they preaching something different than what Peter told them to do? Does not the Bible say there is one common salvation? Is it not commanded? Are we not to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints? Not delivered and then revised and modified and switched around for modern times? Once delivered! If it's delivered once, then it's got to be an absolute perfect plan set in motion, and there can be no revision of it. No reformation of it. Once delivered. I like that. Once delivered. Once delivered. Praise God. Now, notice the witness in earth. What did Peter say? Repent. Repent. That's the power of the blood. Calling to repentance. The forsaking of sin. And with that comes the sorrow, the remorse and the regret. But that's soon wiped away as the mercy and grace of God begins to flow upon you. And you begin to realize the power of the blood as it moves upon you, shows you sin as a merciless mirror at first, it would seem. But it is merciful. It would just seem that way as you feel the pain and the remorse for wickedness and sin, things that have been done in the past, things that you now want to throw overboard or get rid of, and you realize that the grace of God is there to take those sins away, to wash those sins away, to give you a new life, to raise you up in newness of life, to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus, where the former things will never come to mind. For old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things! Isn't that exciting? Repentance. Really and truly to repent. Old Sister Hart used to tell me that. She said, David, now she was about 95 at the time. And she used to say, she's the one who prayed me in off the street. She said, David, you know what the problem is? I still remember her saying that just with her index finger just shaking. You know what the problem is today? People don't really and truly repent. That's the problem. She said they need to really and truly repent. I can still just hear her saying that, you know. Really and truly repent. That just burned right in my heart. Yes, that's exactly what the problem is. People need to really and truly repent. That's the power of the blood. That's one of the witnesses of earth. That's down here. The fact that you turned away from sin, that you repented of your sins, that you don't sin anymore. You've turned from it. That's a witness. Your life has changed. It's different now. That's a witness. God saw it. He saw you kneel or fall on your face or whatever you did when you first came to the realization of His greatness and your great need. Amen. God saw that. Perhaps other people saw it. But the devil saw it too. And so did the angels. And so did the wicked spirits. There's a witness in repentance. It is established that you repented, that you turned away, that you threw it overboard, that you came to the Lord in repentance. It's established! It's a fact! And there's a witness in earth, and three that bear record of it in heaven. Amen. And that those, it says these three are one. That one God who was manifest in three different ways bears record of it in every one of those three ways. For He has become a Father unto you. Didn't He say He would do that? That we receive the Spirit of truth, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. And we enter in through that door, Jesus Christ. We enter in through the power of the blood. That blood is a witness. Nothing can change it. Nothing can ever do anything about it. The fact is that God was manifest in the flesh, and that one day He hung on a cross. The day came when they drove those nails through His hands and through His feet. The day came when they lifted Him up between earth and heaven. The day came when He atoned and paid for our sins. It's done. He said, it is finished. Nothing can ever change that. It's over with. He accomplished it. He did it. Satan is defeated. Praise God. It's a witness. And so is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that bears witness both in heaven and in us. For He gave up the ghost. The Bible says, when He said it is finished, He gave up the ghost. And He poured forth His Holy Ghost upon us. So there is witness in heaven, there is witness on earth. But let's look at the next one. There are three that bear witness in the earth. We talked about the blood as repentance. But let's also look at this. He mentions water here. Is there water in my spiritual life? Oh yes. For I remember the day when I went to the water in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what God said. And the devil knows it. And the wicked spirits know it. That's why He's got so many people playing church and baptizing people by sprinkling a little water on their forehead. Or even immersing them, but no name mentioned. Or surrounding the name with other titles. You know why God gave forth His name to be baptized in? When you baptize in titles, you could be saying anything. When you say Lord Jesus Christ, you're only saying one thing. There can be no mistake about it. But when you say Father, there are a lot of fathers in this world. The Satanists call the devil their father. As a matter of fact, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. And he is the father of lies. And when you've got a church with statues all over and all kinds of relics and weird stuff, and you're saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and say no name. No name is mentioned. When people do that, they are in direct disobedience, because the Bible says to do it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name. The commandment is to do it in the name. That's why in the instances in the book of Acts where people are baptized, where it's happening, where it's actually taking place, you see the name of the Lord Jesus being used, or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you cannot find one instance anywhere in the book of God where anybody was actually baptized with the titles being spoken. There are none, not one. And yet there are examples, and I could name three or four directly, where it is done in Jesus' name. You see, the devil doesn't care how many people get baptized as long as the name is not invoked upon them or called over them. Because that's where the power and the authority is. That's what causes the water to be the washing of water by what? The Word. Singular. The Word. Washing of water by the Word. Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And it goes on to tell us the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What is the Bible telling us there? Jesus Christ is the Word. The Greek for that is logos. The washing of water by the Word. We're washed by water by the Word. Amen. And the fact is, it happened. Everybody that was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it happened. You can remember it. It took place. There's a witness there. Other people saw it. At least one other person, because somebody had to baptize you. The Lord was there. The Bible says buried with Him in baptism. The Lord Jesus Christ was right there with you. Buried with Him in baptism. And then we rise to walk in newness of life. You see, it bears witness in the earth. And there's no changing it. Amen. It happened. And then it goes on and it mentions the Spirit. When God poured out the Holy Ghost, when God filled you with His Spirit, there's a witness there. Amen. Remember in the household of Cornelius, the Bible tells us the Apostle Peter began to preach to them, and while he was yet speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the Word. And they of the circumcision were astonished. Why? Why were they so astonished? That these should receive the Holy Ghost as well as we. They said, they got it the same way. It's just exactly like we got it. They weren't having a confirmation service like a Lutheran church. Huh? Peter was just up there preaching and the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the Word. You know what happens if people would really preach the Word nowadays like they're supposed to? The Holy Ghost would still fall. But people don't preach the Word like they should. They don't preach Jesus. They don't preach repentance, turning from sin, like they should. And the Bible tells us, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Oh, they praised the Lord. They spoke with other tongues, didn't they? Same thing over at Ephesus. When Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? You see, there are three that bear record in the earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. There's an agreement in my water baptism with my repentance. When I repented, I went to the waters of baptism. Why? Because God said, do it. And there was an agreement there between the blood and the water. Just like when it came out of the body of Jesus Christ. When He hung on the cross, just as He began His ministry in the water and ended it by shedding His blood. There's an agreement in the repentance and in the baptism and in receiving the Holy Ghost. These three all agree in one as witness in the earth that God has transformed you and I into His children, has taken us from darkness and brought us into His marvelous light. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. Now, we go on and we read this. In a minute I want to go back in the Old Testament. It gets real exciting back there. Amen. In verse 9 it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Well, amen to that. When God bears witness, It's greater than all the witness of men. It's greater than all the consensus of all the witness of all men. In other words, if everybody comes against me and says, oh, that's all a bunch of baloney. None of that is for real. That's just a religion, just a trumped up thing, just something to make you feel good, just something to pacify you. People will say all kinds of nasty things. The witness of God is greater. The fact is, you're not what you once were. And how did you get this way? Huh? Turn over a new leaf? No. People turn over new leaves all the time. They turn a new leaf over and it just becomes an old one. Huh? The Bible says their leaf shall also wither. Whatsoever. But the righteous, whatever they do, will prosper. Amen. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Where is the one who bears witness? He lives inside of you. A perpetual witness, bearing witness always. The Lord's in there. That's why people can't figure you out. That's why maybe sometimes you can't figure you out. Huh? Yeah, that's why sometimes there's called a battle of faith. And the Lord always wins. Praise the Lord. Now, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. There's a record given. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Where do I find life? In Jesus Christ. That's why I'm baptized in His name. Because baptism is a burial. And when it's done in His name, I come forth out of that grave in Jesus Christ. Amen. And this bears record. God bears record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. Buddha will not do. Allah will not do. Or Muhammad. Or any of these others. You don't have life when you have them. You've got dead deity because they're all dead. But Jesus is alive. All these religions are built on dead men's bones and all uncleanness. But Jesus said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's the criteria. Not whether or not you can prove your pedigree in the Sephardim people of Israel. Huh? That you are one of the direct descendants of such and such. Or since you're from Germany, you're from the tribe of Judah. Or if you're from Denmark, you're the tribe of Dan. Or if you have Saxon descent, you're one of Saxe's sons, Isaac's sons, or any of this kind of stuff. It's called British Israelism. They base everything on genealogy. The Bible says not to go into vain genealogies, that gender strifes. Amen. Because you can get in such a hodgepodge, you might be part this, part that, you'll have to wear a Heinz 57 logo. Huh? There is nobody today that can go back and prove their pedigree. And if you could, it wouldn't matter, because you still need salvation through the blood. If you could prove that you are 100% descendant of David, you still have to repent, get baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the Holy Ghost. You could not rest upon your pedigree. You follow the point? Amen. So, we have life in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we don't have it. Anything else you want to put your trust in? Anything else you want to cling to? doesn't matter. There's no life in anything else other than Jesus Christ. And then he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You can trust God. He's going to help you. I said, God's going to help you. You might be here with a great need tonight, but God knows that need. And if you'll trust the Lord and bring it to Him, are you not His child? Do you not belong to Him? Did not He pay a great price for you? God is with His people. God walks among His people. The Lord lifts up His mighty hand to sustain His people and to smite the enemy. But He captures our hearts in a place of faith sometimes, so that He has our complete and undivided attention. For we might get into a great strait where we realize finally and fully that there is no way out other than Him. All those exits that we thought, all those alternatives, all those things that we thought we would do if this didn't work and if that didn't work, they all melt away as a mirage in the desert. They're not really there at all. Everything you thought of as a way of help, as something that would sustain you, or some action you would take, plan A, plan B, plan C, there aren't any plans. Jesus Christ and Him only. Call upon Me in the day of trouble. Oh, those days come sometimes, don't they? Call upon Me in the day of trouble. Praise God. In this world, we have something called fair weather friends. And when you're in trouble, they go, whoosh, and they're gone. Huh? But God said, call upon Me in the day of trouble. Bring your problems. Bring your troubles. Come on. Bring your loneliness. Bring your heartache. Bring your worries and your concerns, all of your fears. Come on, I think if the United States can put a great big old Statue of Liberty up and say, bring us your wounded, bring us your hungry, and bring all unto that big idol, huh? I think we ought to be able to look to God and hear Him call unto us. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He invited us to come and learn of Him. To learn of Him. Learn what? Learn that He is God, and that's all you need. Because He takes care of you. Praise God that He is our Lord that goes before us. Amen. And that rock with the water flowing follows behind us, for we are the Israel of God. All those types and shadows in the Old Testament, we find true and in fullness in Jesus Christ. We have manna today. We have water from the flinty rock. Amen. We have the promise of the promised land, the real one, not the one on earth. All of those things back there point to now. Praise God. And the power of the blood takes us through every time. Turn with me for just a moment. Back to Exodus Chapter 12. Thank God. You see, the Lord sustains us. He cleansed us. He separated us out from old Egypt by the power of His blood. You know where you were living before you came to Jesus Christ? You were living in Egypt. You were in bondage and in slavery. But now you're set free. Amen. Exodus chapter 12. Listen to what He says here. He's instituting the Passover. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, notice, God is speaking to His people in Egypt. What does the Bible call this dreary world in the book of Revelation? Sodom and Egypt. where also our Lord was crucified. You know why? He wasn't crucified in a city. He was taken outside the camp, outside the city. He was crucified out in the world. And this whole world is Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. If you read it in Hebrews 13, He was not crucified in the city, but taken outside the camp, out into the world itself, and there was crucified for us, for the sins of the world, as John the Baptist had prophesied. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He's basically saying you're starting all over. Your months that you had before, you can't go by that anymore. You're starting all over again. In other words, a new birth. A type of being born again. A new beginning. A beginning of months it shall be. This will be the first month of the year to you. Remember your first month? No, you don't, do you? Of your new birth, sure. I don't think anybody here remembers their first month of their birth into this world. Huh? Anybody? I'm sure you don't. It's really interesting how that works, you know. I don't remember mine either. They tell me I was baptized when I was, what was I, about 5 weeks, 6 weeks? And I had sponsors that witnessed it, but they can't do me any good. I think it's Psalm 47, verse 9. It says, no man can by any means redeem his brother and a gift to God a ransom for him. How can anybody answer for me? Amen. But anyway, I was born, but I wasn't born again until I had repented and was baptized in Jesus' name. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Then I started over. Praise God. Now, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. You see what he's doing here? It was one lamb for each house. There was going to be blood put on the doorpost. God was binding together each family unit. Each house, it would be covered with the blood. Each family was sacred, and to be a family unit. That's where the strength was. And the power of the blood applied to the door, and all that family had to be together in that house. The father couldn't be out in somebody else's house, or the wife out in somebody else's house, or some of the children elsewhere. They had to get together in their own house. They had to be together as a family unit in that house. And if their family was real little, they could join with another family. But the point is, the family that existed had to be together. And then the blood was put on the door. Well, we'll read on. But notice he says here, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Amen. Did you know that Jesus was without blemish, without spot, perfect? A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the two side posts, that's about where the hands of Jesus on the two side posts were nailed. See, the blood was stricken in the pattern of crucifixion, on each side and above. For didn't he not wear a crown of thorns? I got news for you. The head, the face, that whole area is very vascular. A lot of blood is lost through there. And he wore a crown of thorns. That's the richest crown ever worn. You see these pictures of these crown jewels and these crowns in Europe, England, all these places. Just a bunch of junk. I said it's just junk. It might be worth millions and millions and millions of dollars by earth standard, but it's junk compared to that crown of thorns. Because Jesus wore it. He's the Creator. That's the value. It's a different standard. Valuable to me. He wore that for me. I said, He put it on for you, for me. And it hurt. And it was painful. But He wore it that we might have a different kind of a crown. Amen. The Bible tells us that they were to take this lamb. They were to kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. God set forth something in motion that had to be kept and not violated. And you know, the Egyptians looked at this, and I'm sure they were in shock and in horror. You know why? I don't know if you realize this or not, but according to the religion of Egypt, the sun worship and that religion, sheep were considered unclean and filthy. Sheep were looked at by the Egyptians like pigs would be looked at by the people of Israel. The Egyptians could not believe anybody would have sheep around. That's why remember how they wanted to separate these people out? They were becoming too great. We got to get them out of the way. They could not assimilate. In Egypt they did have cattle, but they didn't have any sheep. And here came Israel with all these sheep. That was God's plan too. But the Egyptians hated that. And now to have this happen, that which is dreaded and hated, sheep and sheep's blood. Like I said, that would be like the people of Israel regarding pig's blood. You see? And they were to eat this with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. Verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. Couldn't be boiled. But roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. The whole thing. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Had to be a complete sacrifice and completely consumed. And thus shall ye eat it. Now watch this. With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You had to eat one-handed. You had to eat fast. Had to be ready to move out. This was part of a miracle. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. He's going to pour out judgment. He poured out judgment on Egypt. He poured out judgment on Sodom. Did he not? Oh, we need to have the blood applied. We got to have the blood applied, because I'm telling you, God's going to pour out judgment on this modern day Sodom and Egypt, this world. God's going to destroy this world. God's going to cause the cities of the nations to fall. God's going to bring them down. God's going to tear these empires and these systems of religion and these systems of government to shreds with a rod of iron, as if it were breaking a pot into many pieces or shivers, as the Bible says. God is going to pour out judgment. But if you've got the blood applied, if the blood is applied, He will pass over you in judgment. Amen. See, I don't see any secret snatching away of people in this. But I see the God of heaven judging Sodom and Egypt yet again in the form of this whole world and keeping His people safe in the blood. For He said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt." You might as well say the United States, Europe, Asia, South America, Africa, all of them. "I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Amen. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." Amen. The blood's applied. These, I'll tell you, the devils, the unclean spirits, know when the blood is applied. They see the blood's been applied to you. Amen. They know that. They can see it. "I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." That's why we should not fear what's coming. Men's hearts are failing them for fear out there. It's looking pretty bleak. Oh, there are a lot of people deceived that have rose-colored glasses on. But people realistically looking around with any level of discernment can see it is not good. You know, I look at the cold, hard hearts out there. People destroying their children and ripping them out of the wombs. I always think of that because God judges that. You know, the Bible tells us that when all those innocent little children were slaughtered way back there by Herod, that was at the time when Jesus first came. And now we see this great slaughter going on called abortion. And it surely is an indicator that it is the time of the Lord's return. Amen. And He will come as a swift judge. How would you like to be one of those Supreme Court justices on the Day of Judgment and have to answer for those millions and millions and millions of children? They're going to have to stand before God and give an answer as to why they voted yes. You see, it's very bad. The days are evil. But just the coldness and the hardness and people lusting and chasing after every sin and inventing new ones. You see it all around. You hear people talk, the filth and the degrading things going on, and you just have to wonder, what will it take? How long, O Lord? Just think of that. God will judge this world. There's no question about that. And there's only one escape. You've got to be in His household. You've got to have the blood applied. Praise God. We have to be godly families and godly people. And where the blood is, there's no sin, because the blood washes. You can't. Do you realize you can't have the blood of Jesus Christ and sin in the same place? The sin has to give way. You've got to let go of it. People say, "Well, I have a little here and a little there." Then you don't have the blood applied. You've got to have the blood applied, and if you have the blood applied, the sin is gone. That's all there is to it. And so the Bible tells us that God would smite Egypt, but there would be no plague upon His people. Did you ever read in the Psalms? I'm going to try and close with this thought. Did you ever read in Psalm 18 what happened? It's an elaboration on what happened as God led His people out of Egypt and through the Red Sea. For you see, in Egypt the blood was applied, was it not? So that the people would be made ready for the trip. They would be prepared by the blood to leave Egypt, to get out. Praise God. But then following the Lord, He led them to the water. Isn't it something how God led them right to the water? Why? 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, that they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Going through that Red Sea, even though it was on dry land, it was a type of baptism. They went through the water. And when they got to the other side, or as they were crossing over, remember Pharaoh's chariots pressed hard against them? He was going down into the water, into that area of dry land, trying to cross over and follow them. What did God do? He knocked the wheels off the chariots. And so it says that they drave them heavily. Huh? They're dragging them along, those poor horses. Wheels fell off. What are the chances, what are the odds, if you please, of all the wheels falling off all the chariots at the same time? And there they're stuck. And God caused Moses to lift up his rod, and the water came together, and that was the end of the army of Egypt. God overthrew them in the sea. That's a type of baptism, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That all of these things are in samples unto us upon whom the ends of the world are come. It tells us in that chapter, it's for us to know. For us to experience. This isn't just a history lesson. It's for today. That just as God overthrew Egypt in the water, so He overthrows the wicked spirits in the water. And they're cut off from you. There's deliverance in the water. I said there's deliverance in the water. They were still under threat. They were under attack. They were in danger until they went through the water. God overthrew them and established His people in a large place. Amen. So there was the blood, and then they were led to the water, and then led by the pillar of fire and smoke. All the way through. Praise God. And God did take His people through. You might say most of them died in the wilderness. But He took His people through. He established His people. They crossed the Jordan River. It was another generation. Let's see what it says in the Psalms, because this holds true for us. I'm going to read the first portion of this. Psalm 18. I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He's a lot of things to us. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I've got some enemies that are people, and I have some enemies that are wicked spirits. But the Lord saves us from them. The sorrows of death compassed me. Now watch, you go through a period of repentance here, of turning away from sin. Remember in Egypt how they were driven to near death with the slavery and the servitude? The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. I don't know about your repentance experience, but I had quite a time. Because I had been in a lot of wickedness. I don't know about you. But you think back, look what the Lord took you from. Amen. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him even into His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. Think about this. You might say, yeah, when I repented and I called upon the Lord, I knew something happened, but I didn't think it was quite that earth-shaking. Hey, a lot of things happened in the realm of the Spirit that you didn't perceive. It was a major event. The angels of God rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. Over one. Just one. And you see here, there were things going on. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. You see, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. You see, you might say, you mean for my salvation all these things took place? You look at Calvary and see what took place. How the earth shook. How the heavens were darkened. That was for you. I said that was for you. And for me. A lot of things took place. A lot of things were taking place in the realm of the Spirit that only just spilled over a little. In the realm of natural things. In this world. Physical, tangible things here. But something very major was taking place in the heavenlies. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. See, that was the hand of God. Here was Jesus, the flesh of God, the Son of God, hanging on the cross, dying. And he gave up the ghost. And to the world it looked like he was a defeated man. Just a defeated man. Oh, he was no defeated man. He was Almighty God who had prepared a body of sacrifice for our sins. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them and shot out lightnings and discomfited them. It's an attack on wicked spirits as well as any enemy. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. Just the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. Listen to this. From my strong enemy. You might say, which one? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Did you ever feel that way? The enemy is just too strong for me. Well, of course. But not for the one that dwelleth in you, for greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. See, when you came out of sin, it was just like Israel coming out of Egypt. And it was the hand of God. For the Passover lamb shed his blood for you. And all of these things were taking place. You just maybe didn't know it. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he hath recompensed me. See, that's what he makes you. He makes you clean. And then he blesses you. In your cleanness, through the power of the blood, then he blesses you. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. See, these people say you can't do that. Well, the Bible says you sure can. You can live for God. Don't let anybody tell you you can't live for God. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With a merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. Some of these evil people say, God's evil, because he allows this to happen and that to happen. You know why they say that? Because they're evil. They see God through their own evil mind. They see God through their own evil eyes, through their own evil heart. And therefore he appears evil, not because he's evil, because they are. That's all they can see is evil. Any perception they have of anything is evil. So that's why it says, with a froward he'll show himself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Praise God. That's better than any adrenaline you've got. There's a whole troop of wicked spirits out there, and there's a big wall put up. That doesn't stop anything. You run right through it, leap over a wall. Praise God. And I believe this is literal too. I believe that this happened to David. He was a man in many battles. And he was out there and there was a whole big bunch of, whole troop there surrounding him. And the Spirit of God came over him. He ran right through him and leaped over a wall. The Spirit of God can do things like that for you. Praise God. Elijah outran Ahab's chariot. Girded up his loins, and he outran the chariot. These Olympic people think they got something, huh? God can move upon you that way. The Lord can give you strength you never had. He can quicken your physical body. He can give you great strength. As for God, I'm going to end with verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Glory to God. This is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is the power of salvation. Let's stand together tonight. Glory to God. And his blood will never lose its power. As we go into prayer, I'd like to try and sing at least the chorus, maybe a verse or so of it. Once again, we'll go into prayer. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.